Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your texts, your voicemails, anything you got for us. Hit us up, 331-979-1369. Our sponsors for today's show include Indochino and MyBookie. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. All right, so real quick, back here for another episode. Bulls win last night in Atlanta. Completely different game than we saw on Tuesday night against the Lakers. Matt Peck is out today, but I have a special guest on today. Tony Gill from 670 The Score, executive producer of the Lawrence Holmes Show, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time. So make sure you hear him there. He's also the host of the No Zones podcast and covers the Bulls for 670 The Score. So he hopped on with me. Great conversation. I see Tony all the time in the hallways. And every time I see him, we always chop it up 15, 20 minutes about the Bulls and have to catch up on our thoughts and opinions. So I figured I would grab him for today's show coming off a win. Talk about a lot of different things and really interesting conversation too, about things people aren't talking about with this Bulls team. Denzel Valentine, the bench unit, what happened with that Hawks win, all of that together in about 40 minutes for you. So without further ado, here is Tony Gill.
Fires away! Fire!
Now we welcome on for the first time this season. We haven't had a guest in a really long time, but glad to have this guy on, Tony Gill from 670 The Score, executive producer of the Lawrence Holmes Show, from 12 to 2, Monday through Friday, again on The Score. He also covers the Bulls for 670 The Score and hosts the No Zones podcast. A lot of you know the No Zones podcast, another Bulls podcast, part of the Bulls family. But Tony, it's been, we talk off mic all the time. I see you when I'm inside in The Score, but it's nice to have you back on the show. It's been a drought for us, I guess, as far as guests. Matt and I haven't really had one on, but how you doing?
Good, man. Matt already needed a break from the Bulls. We're only 9 games.
I guess. This for sure. I told him that. I'm like, man, you and I must need to take at least a handful of breaks if the season's going to go the way it started already. So, yeah, he's down in Houston right now and probably enjoying way better weather than we are here. But speaking of Houston, Bulls see Houston later this weekend, as well as the two games that they played this week, the Hawks and the Lakers. Let's start there, though, Tony. Let's start with last night's win. Complete opposite of what we saw against the Lakers just a night ago. Give me some highlights. What you thought the reaction was after that brutal Lakers loss and the collapse in the fourth quarter. What did you like that you saw from the Hawks game in comparison to what you saw at the Lakers game?
They played like it hurt bad enough. And if everybody was listening to what happened after the post game, after that Lakers loss, Thad Young, I made a reference to, hey, when guys will start taking this more seriously from night to night, when it hurts bad enough, when those losses start to hurt really bad, and then you'll see some change. And at least last night's sake, we saw it looked like that loss hurt bad enough. They came out defensively, knowing the game plan. Everybody was in tune, knowing what they wanted to do to Trae Young, who was primarily their main scorer with John Collins out for the PED suspension for the next 25. The Bulls, they look ready. And that was issues going into various games so far this season of them not looking like they're ready to play a basketball game. That Pacers game in particular, where they should have won that game handily, they were getting dog walked by the, you know, the Pacers B team. That's embarrassing. And then you go to that Lakers game. They had that game in hand. The Lakers looked like they had the Chicago flu, which I had no idea existed. I thought that was just a Miami or a Los Angeles thing. But apparently Chicago has the Chicago flu. And they weren't ready to play either. The only person that came to play was LeBron all night long. But everybody else, Anthony Davis, looked sluggish. Everybody else was awful. And you had that game in hand and you let that one slip. And to go down by 10 in the fourth quarter at one point and then ultimately lose, that was crazy. So last night we saw aggressiveness on defense, and we saw some aggressiveness for the first time this season from Thomas Satoransky, which was great because you and everybody else that has been watching this team knew that Thomas was going to be the starter from day one. And we were still looking for, okay, what's the reasoning why, you know, you're going to be a starter for the remainder of the season? People that weren't sure starting to feel, you know, a little bit confident in their, you know, in their takes of they don't know about Thomas. When we were telling them, like, no, he's going to be the best fit for this team starting wise. But it was hard to say, hey, the first question people would come up, hey, when is Kobe going to start? When is Kobe going to start? Knowing that Kobe's best usage for right now is coming off the bench in that scoring role, knowing how big of a deal being the starting point guard and how much responsibility that is, he wasn't ready. And Thomas is the guy for right now to start, and he played really well. He said he wanted to be and needed to be more aggressive on the offensive end, and it showed up last night with his career high of 27 points. And we saw a Lauri Markkanen sighting. You know, first time in four games, he shot double-digit attempts. I mean, majority of them was at the three-point line. But, hey, you know, we just asking for double-digit attempts at this point for Lauri, and he did that. So there was a lot of good things for the Bulls to build on after that win against Atlanta.
Yeah, I want to circle back to that Kobe White and Thomas Satoransky conversation in a second. But I thought you brought up a good point. Kind of embarrassing when you look back at that Lakers game on Tuesday and realize LeBron for that fourth quarter stretch wasn't even in the game. They let that Lakers team go on a 29-4 run in the first 8 minutes of that fourth quarter and pretty much coughed up the entire lead that they had. So I felt like that was sort of embarrassing. And then some weird Jim Boylan moves too, of not calling a timeout and not pulling his second unit out. And then he had quotes at the end of the game too, where were a little bit bizarre. But on the positive side of that, yeah, just a little bit. On the positive side of that, though, for them to come out into the first quarter and basically kick the teeth into the Hawks in the first quarter and go on themselves a really long run at 26-7, I think was a good indication that this team cares about those wins. And kind of going off of what you said about Thaddeus Young and his comments, is this shows at least fans and shows everybody else, veterans in that locker room too, these younger guys care, and it does hurt when they lose. So again, I take it with a grain of salt because, again, the Atlanta Hawks are one of these rebuilding teams. The guards had a really good game. Satoransky had 27. I hate to do this on the negative side, but Trae Young was one of the worst defenders in all of basketball last year, and it hasn't improved all that much either. So I'm not that surprised him and Chris Dunn had really, really nice offensive nights. But again, it's good to see that type of rebound. You didn't want the Bulls to go to Atlanta and drop a goose egg against a team and watch guys like Jabari Parker and Alex Len and Trae Young go off on you. So with Thomas Satoransky and Kobe White, do you think that those two guys, there's going to be a lot of attention put on both of those guys when these both have ups and downs? Like Kobe White right now, coming off the bench, he's had some moments where his offense has been good, but for the most part, it still seems like it's going to be a work in progress. Whereas Satoransky is more the veteran, and I think people bag on him when he has bad offensive games and call for Kobe White, but I don't think they understand necessarily what the long-term effect of that would be.
When you're looking for a starting point guard, you're looking for a guy that can be a leader, be the coach on the floor for a basketball team, and Kobe isn't there just yet. But right now, the best use for him is, hey, just go out there and get buckets. Is what you're naturally good at. Is what you're naturally inclined to do is look for your shot versus trying to create for everybody else. So how about you just go in there and do that, and we'll figure it out. Going into the season, with the Bulls saying, using the playoff word, and knowing that, you know, the large majority of the people that watch didn't expect the Bulls to make the playoffs, but that's what their goal was. So, okay, if that's what your goal is, that means Kobe is not going to be afforded a lot of chances to kind of flesh things out. And that's a big thing. If you have a young point guard, especially in this day and age where the point guard has become extremely important, has a lot of things on their plate, they need a lot of room, especially their rookie year, to kind of get used to the league. And they may need the entire season to figure it out. It took Trae Young a half a season to figure it out. He had horrible in the beginning and then picked it up, you know, in the second half of the playoffs. Luka Doncic started really, really hot, but then kind of tailed off towards the back end. So for young point guards, they need time to work and develop. And with the Bulls kind of going on this rear fighting for the playoff spot, I was concerned, is he going to get enough opportunity to do all the things? And for right now, he's not, because, you know, one, he has to do the scoring on be the primary scorer coming off the bench, because you don't trust anybody coming off the bench to get consistent baskets for that second unit. So that's one. If you replace Sato with Kobe in the starting lineup, you're not going to get that much scoring. So that will be an issue. But in terms of production, I think the way it currently is in terms of Sato starting, seeing what Sato does, and then Kobe coming off the bench and see where he's at scoring wise, and then set him back down if, you know, it gets clutch and he's not having it that night. That's what the plan is. And if they are trying to win every game, which they're supposed to at this point, they're supposed to be past, you know, development. Unfortunately, the development of Kobe White and his growth is going to have to take a back seat, considering what the Bulls have planned in terms of going for the playoffs.
I think that's kind of, to me, it's a little surprising to hear that as far as the way that Kobe White's going to develop, having to kind of take that back seat to wanting to win. And that's what Jim Boylan, and that's what John Paxson, and that's what Gar Foreman all told us on Media Day. I mean, there's a quote in the first 2 minutes of Media Day where John Paxson literally says, the playoffs should be our goal. That should be our expectation. Should we be fully healthy? The Bulls are fully healthy. Chandler Hutchison just came back from his injury too. So this team's fully healthy now. So if playoffs are that expectation, I find it a bit bizarre too, because the comments that Jim Boylan made after the Lakers game, and even this past weekend, where he said, you know, it's really difficult to try and develop and also win games, and we're trying to do both of those right now. So I can kind of understand why that puts him in a weird position. It puts guys like Kobe White and Daniel Gafford, who are rookies, into a weird position too, to just trying to find their fit. As far as Kobe White goes, though, for the fan base, I think people think we automatically think that Kobe White isn't any good and isn't going to develop just because we say he shouldn't start right now. And I think that that's misleading by the fan base, and people should understand, like, that's not a knock on Kobe White. He just needs time. Like, you can't send him out there when he's shooting 35% and 23% from the three and expect him to all of a sudden light it up just because he's playing around the starters. I think you brought up a great point, though, about the bench and the lack of scoring there. Can you tell me what's going on with Denzel Valentine? Like, what is the situation there? Because the offseason, we were talking about him being a part of this second unit, part of this rotation, and being another option for the Bulls to have to score. What's going on with him?
If you look at Jim's history of not playing guys so far since he's been the head coach, it all starts with, how do you perform in practice with him? We saw it with Jabari Parker last season. He sat Jabari because he felt like Jabari wasn't practicing hard enough for his liking. And that's the only real reason, kind of why, is you're not practicing hard and I don't trust you. So for Denzel to not be receiving any playing time, I think he played, what, maybe one game?
He played in garbage minutes.
Yeah, in when the game was already decided, that is really telling. Considering, you know, that the first preseason game where Denzel got to play, he seemed, you know, not extremely emotional, but a little bit emotional on, you know, fighting through all his injuries, coming back, playing in an NBA game in, you know, about one and a half seasons. And he seemed kind of grateful that he was able to play NBA basketball again. And then after that, for him to seemingly be in the doghouse was crazy, especially considering that they are particularly weak at the wing position, and having that body would, you know, at least he's not the world's greatest defender. I'm not saying that, but I mean, he's still, you know, a bigger 6'6", 6'7", you know, guy that can get, you know, in the way of people. Instead of him going to Jim going to a, you know, a three guard lineup, you have a legitimate wing available to him, and he just doesn't want to use him. So that tells me that he is not, to Jim, not doing what he's supposed to do, you know, in practice, and he doesn't see a benefit of adding him to the rotation, which, you know, which says a lot.
That does. And like, that's surprising to me too, is the fact that, you know, he played him and we saw a little bit in preseason of what Denzel Valentine was. And I was thinking more towards the fact that Denzel is so far removed from playing in actual game situations that even with all of these preseason games and with all of the preseason training camp that he had to go through, he still wasn't even close to being ready to go back on the floor like what we saw almost 2 years ago now. But it is a little bit shocking, and I kind of get that if Jim Boylan is going to be consistent on that the way he was with Jabari Parker last year, then I think I'm all right with it. But it does tell you something that the fact that Chandler Hutchison was out, Otto Porter's been dealing with a handful of nagging injuries, you don't have anybody to play in that three slot, and Denzel is somebody who can slide from the two to the three and play there. So to me, I would be interested to see how that's going to continue to move along. And maybe if Hutchison plays well, then it's something we don't even have to concern ourselves with. But for a guy that was a lottery pick, a guy that had come off the season previous to his injury, shooting close to 40% from three, it is really concerning that they considered him part of that bench, especially management, and now he's getting DNPs left and right. So I guess we'll have to keep our eyes on that. But we're, I guess, to stay on the bench real quick, and then we'll go back to the starters. Where else do you see the scoring coming from this bench unit? If it's not Kobe White on a certain night, who else? And if it's not Thaddeus Young on nights, who else is going to have to step up to kind of score? Who would you pick out of that second unit to be the guy that can maybe step up and be more, a little bit more consistent?
I don't know, man. you look at that bench minus Thad, minus Kobe. I guess if gun to my head, if I had to pick one, it would have to be like Archie, you know, or Luke Cornett. And you can't play those dudes for extended minutes, you know, in an NBA game. I famously was saying I'm going to be on the Luke Cornett bandwagon this year. I saw the possibility of what he can do offensively and what he can do enough of defensively, and that just has not gone the way that I thought that it was going to go. I mean, he gets manhandled in the paint on a consistent basis. I mean, he can step outside and shoot the three, which looks nice for, you know, seeing a 7-footer do that. But, I mean, he knows where the ball should go, but sometimes it's just too late, causing turnovers, and he just hasn't been great. But, yeah, minus if Kobe isn't shooting well, and Thad is seemingly being more integrated into that starting group, there's not a lot on that bench offensively. Chris Dunn we've seen Chris Dunn play better this season, but nobody's depending him for an offensive outburst. That's just not what he's capable of doing. He's best served as a defender. But yeah, that's what made what Jim after that Lakers game so crazy, was that he refused to sub in as the Lakers were making that run, or call a timeout, because he wants the bench to learn how to play winning basketball in a playoff. You know, you guys,
it's insanity.
Playoffs, it's it was crazy. I mean, you should have seen the faces in that room when he said that. Like, are you kidding me? And it definitely in some people, I'm still giving Jim, you know, some time, but I understand if some people in that room were like, yeah, I'm done with Jim. Like, he's going to be fired and we will move on to the next coach. I get that from some media people already having that, you know, in their mind. So again, talking about that developing the bench, it's weird considering most of those guys that he's playing off his bench probably won't be here in the next 3 years outside of Coby White. So who are you trying to develop?
Exactly. That is my, and then the guy that you just drafted in the second round probably will be here for an extended period of time, and he can't even see the floor unless it's 2 or 3 minutes before the closeout of a game where nothing means anything. So it's shocking. And like Thaddeus Young, like I don't even consider him really part of that second unit, like you had said, because he has spent so much time already with a decent amount of the starters, the way that Jim Boylan's kind of split up his playing time. So really it goes back to who, Chris Dunn or Coby White or Chandler Hutchison has to be your main scoring option. I think that's why I go back to Denzel Valentine, and it hurts even more to hear that practices aren't going the way Jim Boylan wants him to go. He's not giving the type of effort that he wants out of Denzel Valentine. He's just supposed to be a part of this rotation and a key part of why the Bulls could score off their second unit. You look at a lot of the games already this season, the Bulls are getting outscored a shit ton by their opponents off the bench, and that's really where they're getting beat. And then if the starters too have bad nights, two or three of these guys aren't knocking down shots, then you see games where it's a no contest like Toronto was just a couple of weeks ago. I want to stay on Jim Boylan for a second, but before I do that, my favorite time of year is right now. And well, it was. Love fall, even though here in Chicago we get about 1 week of it. It goes from about 75 to 80 degrees straight to snow. Sweater weather, leaves on the ground, and threes from downtown. That's right. For some, it's fall season, but for the rest of us, it's ball season. NBA and NCAA basketball are tipping off, and there's no better way to feel a part of the action than have stakes in the game with mybookie.ag. The Bulls are 50,000-1 to win the NBA championship this year. So if you're feeling lucky and you want to throw $10 on it, go to mybookie.ag to place your bets. The Hornets, Kings, Grizzlies, Knicks, and Cavs all have worse odds, and the Bulls are tied with the Wizards right now at 50,000-1 to win the NBA championship. Other odds for the Bulls right now, 20,000-1 to win Eastern Conference, 5,000-1 to win the Central Division. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate your offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. Use your basketball knowledge to prove that you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. Mybookie.ag, promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your first deposit today. So, Tony, Jim Boylan, after the game against the Lakers, I don't know if there was like a point where he was ready to just completely explode and go complete 180 from what he was saying. I have no idea what his thought process was, but hearing him, that line where he says, you know, we're going to have a bench here in Chicago and I'm going to coach it and we're going to be great and this is what we're going to do and everything's going to be good and we're going to keep doing that. That to me, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? All of these comments that he's made in the first few games, especially coming off of weird losses and not really having answers for anything, it was the most bizarre thing to hear him, that he wasn't going to take the second unit out and didn't feel that he needed to take a timeout in the fourth quarter. What did you take away from that, those post-game comments after a loss like the Lakers on Tuesday?
Again, would you bring the starters back a little sooner?
Nope.
Why is that?
Because I'm going to develop this bench and I'm going to develop this team. I got 15 guys to develop, and I'm going to play them in those moments, and they're going to learn how to play winning basketball. I've never yanked guys. I've never done that. You know, I'm not doing that. So we're going to develop that second group, and we're going to have a bench here in Chicago, and I'm going to keep coaching it.
Well, it kind of made me think that, okay, maybe he's not an NBA head coach, and maybe he's best served as an assistant. Again, I'm still leaving out some room for him to kind of change that narrative. But when you see your team drowning, and they haven't recalibrated, you know, after 6 points straight, after 10 points straight, after 12 points straight of, you know, of the Lakers scoring and you not getting anything, I think it's time to call a timeout. If even if you're not going to make a substitution, you have four timeouts. Use one. And it was such out of character because we're so used to Jim using all of his timeouts that in this situation, he chose not to. He said it was in his head and it was in his heart, but he didn't go to it.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. And then to go on to say he doesn't yank players, and it's like, that's not true, Jim. That's probably one of the more famous things that you're known for is yanking players. You pull your starters twice in a game. You sat Wendell Carter Jr. and said he can learn from the bench. You sat Lauri Markkanen in fourth quarters by choice. So he does that. When people aren't playing well, he takes them off the court and has him sit, except for the Lakers game. So that was entirely out of character from what we've seen from him so far. And it was just, it's weird. It's weird to put, especially again, and I keep saying this, beginning of the season, when you say you want to push for the playoffs, well, you lost the easy ones. And we kind of assumed you were going to lose that Raptors game and this game specifically. So you're still trying to make up ground from the losses that should have been wins early on. And a game that you weren't supposed to win, you're winning, and you actively go in the way to make sure they lose that game. Okay, that was one of the more weirdest situations of basketball that I've seen. And I'm not that old, but it was really weird. And everybody else thought it was weird. The media thought it was weird. Jim didn't think it was that weird. So, you know, hopefully this was a learning, you know, situation for Jim. And hopefully we don't have to discuss this, you know, anymore. Because if we think it's weird and we look at and watch the team with context to everything that goes on with the Bulls, the national media without context, I mean, they would rip the Bulls. So hopefully that this he learns from the situation and be able to go forward.
That's the, you know, after taking a couple of days to kind of digest it and go back and rewatch the third and the fourth quarter in that Lakers game, the only two explanations that I could come up with that I could understand, I still don't agree with, but I could understand from Boylan, is one, trying to inject some confidence into his bench by being able to stay out there and actually hold down a lead and close out the game against a halfway decent Lakers bench, and the Lakers bench decided to unbelievably torch the Bulls in the first 8 minutes. And then Anthony Davis comes back into the game and LeBron comes back towards the end. But still, maybe he was trying to inject some type of confidence in that second unit, giving them a little bit of confidence, saying, hey, if we need to stick you out there in a crunch time situation, I have enough confidence for you guys to be able to do that. The other reason would be that he was disappointed in the starters and the way that they played in that third quarter and wanted to send a message to any one of them, but that one is harder to kind of believe, kind of understand. I feel like for me, it was more about building some confidence up with that second unit and trying to stay with his guys and showing some trust as a coach, but not taking a timeout and not trying to stop the bleeding and bail your guys out, give them a break, when you clearly could see things were going wrong. And this has been a problem with this Bulls rebuild for the first 3 years, is anytime an opponent goes on some type of mini run, the Bulls just all of a sudden panic and don't know what to do, can't score, don't play any defense, and let the bleeding continue. So I those are the only two reasonable explanations that I have that he would keep those guys in there for that length of time against a really damn good Lakers team. One of the best teams in the West, too.
Yeah, he could have caught the Lakers having an off night, and that would have been a confidence booster to win that game for his team. So the minutia of, I mean, let's say what you said is what he was trying to accomplish, is in two trust in his bench. Well, no, the win overall would have ensued trust because the second unit did play well early on in the game. But once things started to go down, there's a reason why they're reserves. There's a reason why they don't play as much as your starters. If they did, they'd be starting. So, but overall, getting to that win is a bigger statement saying you guys can play with any team in the league. Would have been a huge confidence booster for that team and for that group. And yeah, you could say, yeah, we kind of slipped over at the end, but you guys stuck with it and won that game. For me, is a better message than you trying to sin with what he did.
Real quick on Otto Porter, should we be concerned at all about these nagging injuries that he has had this year and last year?
Yes.
Because I don't think he's been fully healthy, right? Since he's been in a Bulls uniform, not 100%, right?
Yeah. I think there's some chronic things that are just going to happen with him. And they're just going to have to find workarounds. And you can kind of get that hint at the beginning of the season when Jim said, Otto's going to be on a minute restriction and probably won't, you know, play a lot of back-to-backs. And knowing Jim, knowing that he wants his guys to play, for him to say that, I was like, oh, okay, Otto has some reoccurring things that are never going to go away. That's what I got from it. And they just kind of have to work around it. So this, you know, added foot injury that he has is kind of is what comes with having Otto Porter on your team. He's kind of injury prone, and there's no disrespect. It's just a fact. He's been injured for a lot of his career, especially in late. So yeah, the Bulls are going to have to just kind of get him, you know, in the best shape possible to put him out there. But yeah, these things are going to be throughout the entire season. And that's a big reason why a lot of people, including me, didn't have them going to the playoffs was I'm not 100% sure that they're going to be healthy the whole way through. There's no precedent set by any of those players outside of, you know, the rookies who obviously haven't been in the NBA that these guys, Zach, Laurie, Otto, Wendell, can stay healthy for a majority of the season. And they need, if they want to make that playoff run, they need those guys to play as much as possible for them to have the best chance to win games, to make that playoff push. So, yeah, concerned would mean that it's unexpected for me. I'm not concerned. I just kind of matter-of-factly think that comes with Otto and they have to deal with it.
Do you think this is something that they've learned through the month of September going into training camp, kind of understanding who Otto was as opposed to last year when they were in the middle of the season, still kind of getting to know him? Do you think that this is something that they learned throughout training camp or this is something they kind of knew going into the offseason? I ask this because they didn't really address the one spot they're truly weak at right now, and that's the wing spot and having depth there. And I don't know if it's the fact that they counted on Chandler Hutchison to be fully healthy this year, and on top of that, having Denzel Valentine fully healthy and actually being a part of this rotation where they felt okay. But if they knew about this in the offseason, it kind of concerns me that they didn't go out and at least try to sign another wing just for insurance. Is this something that they've kind of growingly figured out, or do you feel like in your estimation they've known for a while?
I think they weighed their options in terms of what they had before and figured they deal with whatever came with Otto Porter as long as they didn't have Jabari Parker on the team anymore. I think that when they made the move initially, that outweighed whatever health concerns that Otto brought. And then going forward to the offseason where, okay, now you know his medical reports and all that, I guess they figured then that Denzel will be ready to go before training camp and able to contribute to this team. Also, the signing of Thomas Satoransky was, I think they saw, hey, 6'7", he can play some small forward for us in stretches and spurts. So I thought that move, and the Thad Young move, he can guard, you know, threes. He may not be able to play it offensively, but he can certainly guard threes. So I think those were their kind of checks, you know, and balances to their plan for Otto. So they didn't sign an outright, this guy is a three going forward. But I think the moves of Thad Young and Thomas Adoransky in their thought that Denzel was going to contribute, and a healthy, well, at least going to be healthy Chandler Hutchison in the offseason was the plan. It just hasn't gone that way so far.
Yeah, I think they expected Hutchison, and the setback was unfortunate for him this summer and going into training camp, and he said as much, too. He was, frankly, he said he was pissed off. You know, he said he didn't expect it, and it was frustrating because it took just that much longer to get back after everything that's happened before. And he said, it's frustrating because I was playing so well when I was hurt, but he's like, I don't really want to look back at that. I felt like I had a really good summer. So the setback was a little bit disappointing. So I guess that's something to maybe put on the bookshelf and come back to in a couple of months and see where we're kind of at as far as what Otto's injury is. And I appreciate the Bulls at least keeping a conscious mind and saying, you know, we're going to limit his minutes. I want to make sure nothing major happens to him and he ends up missing a month or two. But the last two things I've got for you, Tony, I'll let you get out of here. Do you see this team, if this team continues to underperform and we're at the back end of December and the Bulls are, say, 5-10 games under 500, things aren't necessarily improving and going the way that we wanted wanted them to go. Do you see any of the pieces on this team right now that could be end up being dealt away? And I know it's super early in the season to think about that, but I think it's fair if the Bulls continue down this path, especially with a really difficult November. You think they would stick with all the guys that they've got on their roster right now and play this out for an entire season?
Yeah, because I think at that point, I think the chance of the playoffs will probably be kind of really low. And I mean, they may not, you know, feel necessary like, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs. What's the point of trying to make a big splash move, you know, at the deadline or, you know, anything like that. So I think this is the team. This is a roster. And this is, they have enough young guys. They always talk on, you know, we're the second youngest team in the league. Well, maybe at that point we see, you know, more minutes for Kobe. Or maybe he gets a spot start, you know, here and there where they're actually just trying to see, you know, a couple things once that playoff window starts to be inevitably closed. I don't think there's any moves, you know, out there for them to really make unless, you know, they have this type of, you know, some sort of epiphany and it's like, well, this Zach and Lowry thing is going to work. We got to get rid of one of them. Outside of that, I don't think there's many more moves that they can make with the roster.
Yeah, and I think, too, unless things just go absolutely disastrous, you know, Satoransky and Thaddeus Young are not on bad deals. So I feel like if the Bulls are in that direction where they're like, you know what, this isn't working at all, we're just going to get rid of everybody and try this again next summer, they could move Satoransky to a team and he's on a decent deal. They could move Thad Young. They could move, even Otto Porter has had a ton of attention. We get people tweeting at us already that are fans of the Trailblazers or the Nuggets and saying, hey, you know what, if the Bulls are a disaster, maybe Otto Porter, somebody we attack or go after. So possibilities, but I'm hoping that the Bulls season at this point doesn't end up like that, but I figure we would just kind of put the layer out there for people to kind of understand where this Bulls team would go should things go on the negative side. Last question for you, Tony. How many other coaches is Jim Boylan going to add to his list of coaching haters? We've got Doc Rivers, we've got Dave Yeager, Igor Kokoskov, and now Lloyd Pierce after the end of the Hawks game. Jim Boylan is the most consistent guy, and I appreciate and applaud him for that. I can only ask for somebody to be who they are and be consistent, but I just find it hilarious that these coaches in the NBA get so mad about Jim Boylan taking timeouts in the fourth quarter, which are kind of ridiculous. But Lloyd Pierce last night was super, didn't seem too pleased with the timeout call from Jim Boylan either.
Yeah, I mean, especially coming off that Lakers game where he didn't call any timeouts in the fourth quarter. Yeah. It was certainly weird to see him call those timeouts, and you know, against Atlanta. And I mean, he's going to make a lot of coaches mad. And I don't think Jim particularly cares. He's all about his team and what, you know, they do, which is, you know, kudos, but still, you know, you should know the landscape of how this is supposed to go. When you're up that much, you don't exacerbate the time by calling timeout after timeout. in the room right now with Herb Lawrence, executive producer of Bulls Basketball, and he was noticeably upset that Tim kept calling timeouts. this is the name of the game, man. I mean, you're going to get fired eventually. I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but you get hired to get fired, you know, in professional sports. So I don't know if you want to make too many of these coaches mad when, you know, you're applying for your next assistant coaching job or so, and, you know, nobody wants you on their bench because of what you did to them. So, but I think that's just how Jim is. I mean, he's just all about what his team does and getting his team together. So he certainly has that singular focus, but yeah, it's going to make some other coaches mad, no doubt, by the season's end.
Super long losing streak going into December. The Bulls are still at single digit wins. Is there any possibility that there's noise brewing that Jim Boylan could be fired, or in your indication, if the Bulls go completely south, you think Jim Boylan still has his job throughout this entire season, no matter how it goes?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Jim is John Paxson and Michael Reinsdorf's mans. That's their guy. especially after 1 year, you know, after giving him an extension, which they didn't have to do. They could have been fine just kind of raising his salary to, you know, the average head coaching salary and let him finishing out that term or do a year-to-year thing. But they gave that man an extension. That means they love him. So at this point in the contract, he can do no wrong, you know, to them. So yeah, I don't see them firing him after, you know, not even one season full as the head coach.
Tony, this has been fantastic. I appreciate you coming on and talking Bulls. It's been kind of an up and down ride, and I know Bulls fans are on their edge of their seat to kind of seeing where this season's going to take us. But again, Tony Gill, you can follow him on Twitter at TonyGill670. He's the executive producer of the Lawrence Holmes Show, so make sure to listen to Lawrence Holmes every single day, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time here in Chicago on 670 The Score. Also follow him on Twitter for all of his Bulls coverage, and listen to the No Zones podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to that anywhere you get your podcast for another dose of Bulls basketball. Tony, this was a great conversation. I will see you around. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, no problem. Anytime you guys want me on. And tell Max it's too early to be taking vacations. Let Jim cook and let's see what happens. It's too early.
I will. I'll make a mention to it to him. Thanks, Tony. Have a good one.
All right, see you. Thanks.
I thought it was... I thought it was a real positive.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks to Tony Gill for jumping on the show with me. You can follow him on Twitter at TonyGill670. Make sure you're subscribed to the No Zones podcast. Drops 2 or 3 episodes a week. He does a really, really good job, though. He's at every Bulls game, too, covering practices, covering the games. So he's done a fantastic job. So make sure you subscribe to that Bulls podcast as well if you can't get enough of Bulls news and conversation. Want to thank our sponsors for the show today, Indochino and MyBookie.ag. Again, at MyBookie.ag, they'll double your first deposit by using the promo code LOCKEDONNBA in it. Indochino, $30 off $399 or more by using the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. So check out both of those sponsors. Thank you to both Indochino and MyBookie.ag for sponsoring today's content. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at LOCKEDONBulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us. We've been flooded with a bunch of voicemails, so appreciate everybody just dropping us a call or a text. We thank you so much for doing that. We'll make sure to get to some of those tomorrow's episode. I think I'm going to try to fly through as many voicemails and as many texts as I can to kind of clean up that line for this weekend. So if you have some thoughts, 331-979-1369, or you can always tweet at us as well, at LockedOnBulls. Make sure you're subscribing to all of the Chicago-based Locked On Podcast Network shows. That includes Locked On White Sox with Herb Lawrence. That includes Locked On Blackhawks with Jay Zawoski. Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears. and Locked On Bears with Lauren Cox. So whatever team that you follow with a passion, if it's more than just one, more than just this Bulls team, go ahead and subscribe to all of those shows. They put out great daily content as well. And Locked On Blackhawks and Locked On White Sox are our new additions to the Chicago family, as well as Locked On Bears and Locked On Cubs, who have been a staple here at the Locked On Podcast Network. So make sure to give them a subscribe, as well as if you're not subscribed to our show, make sure you are. Subscribe in whatever podcast platform you use. That's Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our shows so you get them as soon as they drop. Drop us a review too. If you like what we're doing here at Locked On Bulls, we'd really appreciate it if you took the 30 seconds to drop us a review wherever you like to listen to your shows. Again, thank you guys so much for listening. For Jordan Malley and my guest Tony Gill, we are out of here. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan Malley, I'm saying I'm out of here. Deuces.
Any chance Anthony Davis leaves LA for the Windy City?
Hell no. Going no damn Chicago. Let's stop this nonsense right now. Right now, you look like the best team in basketball. You are clearly a title contender, and you're going to walk away from all of that to go home to Chicago, which really hasn't been relevant since Derrick Rose injured his knee. Stop it.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.